This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Russell Wilson got traded to the New York Yankees so that he could live a lifelong dream of putting the Yankee jersey on, because long before Russell Wilson was a Giant, he wasn't just pandering to us, he was a Yankee fan. And his favorite player growing up was
Derek Jeter.
Do we see him at opening day?
That's a great question. Yes!
There's no doubt he's at opening day.
Yes, he is at opening day. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, he's all pumped to be a Giant. He grew up as a Yankee fan. I expect him to be there. Now, he's not throwing out the first pitch because Andy Pettit is throwing out the first pitch. Uh-huh. But they could do that if you want to be a little funky if you're the Giants.
As much money as he's made, he probably already has bought a home.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's probably already living in New York half the time.
Exactly.
When Russell Wilson got traded to the Yankees in 2018, he actually suited up and played a spring training game.
Yeah.
He pinch hit for Aaron Judge in the game, and he would actually face a major league pitcher in a five-pitch at-bat that concluded in a strikeout. The question is, what major league pitcher did Russell Wilson face in that at-bat as a New York Yankee? And I guess the hint would be, if I'm asking the question, I'm not going to respond with some minor leaguer that Tiki's never heard of. Clearly, there's an end game to the trivia question.
Right.
So, I'll ask you, who do you think Russell Wilson struck out against in his one at-bat as a Yankee?
Probably your favorite player ever.
My favorite player ever.
Yeah, currently a Blue Jay.
Oh, Blue Jay. Max Scherzer?
Max Scherzer.
It was not Max Scherzer. No. Would you like to guess, Tommy?
Can I get a hint? Which team was he pitching for?
Which team was he pitching for?
Does he still pitch for?
No. I like, which team was he pitching for at the time?
I believe when I say it, you're going to get the answer.
Which team is he pitching for currently?
Then. The team he's pitching for right now?
Yeah, that's probably an easier.
Would be the New York Yankees. He is actually now a member of the New York Yankees. The guy who struck out Russell Wilson in 2018.
Marcus Stroman.
Incorrect. Mm. The answer is Max Fried.
Really?
Max Fried.
I guess Max Fried is 31. I feel like he's so young because he looks like he's 15.
Yeah, he looks like a baby.
But he feels young, even though he's not. He's been around for a while.
Well, it was 2018. Max Fried was young.
That's true.
He was, you know, it's spring training.
7 years ago. He was 24.
Yeah, he was spring training. So Max Fried is the one that struck out Russell Wilson. I assume Max Fried remembers that. So if Russ does show up to Yankees opening day, Max should go up to him and be like, hey, how you doing? I own your ass.
Let's ride.
Remember that strike? Yeah, let's ride, Russ. But Giant fans, how we feeling today? Russell Wilson's a Giant. Jameis Winston's a Giant. And this all makes sense as long as they still draft a young quarterback. Russell Wilson starting week one, no problem. Jameis Winston being an insurance policy in case guys get hurt, no problem. But there still needs to be a long-term vision of a young quarterback being drafted. That makes this all make sense.
Right.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Brett is calling from Suffern, New York. How are you, Brett?
What's up, Brett? Good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
Awesome, awesome. Excited for tomorrow. Tiki, one of the first games I went to was that Thunder and Lightning game.
Oh, nice. Against Arizona.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So you tear up the field. And I'll never forget when that – I was sitting in on the field level. I'll never forget when that bolt came across the south zone.
I know,
seeing
dude.
Every single player jump to high heaven.
Right. We're out. See y'all. I hope you guys make cover. We're gone.
Yeah. And if I can't remember correctly, I think it was the only time where both teams headed in besides it being halftime.
Yeah.
They ran for safety.
Right. Immediately.
Exactly. Anyway, reason I'm calling is I'd like to see the Giants go after Hunter, and the reason is because, you know, they've had some problems on the wide receiver end, and I don't know what his position could end up being, but right. You remember when the Neighbors went down, you know, the whole team started falling apart, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying, you know, Neighbors is a superhero, but he's an athlete. So you have the same situation, you know, next year, then what are you going to do?
Well, I think a lot of last year, the scheme was we want to get Malik Neighbors the ball as often as possible. So if you get any kind of man look, it doesn't necessarily have to be man coverage because sometimes cover three is like a man coverage and there's nobody over top of him and throw it to him.
Yeah.
Right? Let him make a play. It's what all the really good teams with great wide receivers, they do. Justin Jefferson gets that treatment. You know, back in the day, Tony Gonzalez and all the tight ends, Gronk, you get a man look, just throw it to him. Right? And let him be the athlete, the great athlete that he is. And so when he got hurt, it forces you to be more clinical, that makes sense, with how to get positive yardage. And they weren't able to do it. And they suffered a little bit because of it.
Travis Hunter, to me, is going to be a cornerback who happens to give you 5 to 10 plays at wide receiver. Is that a fair guess? More or less? Am I wrong?
I don't know, man. I think he actually might be a wide receiver.
Really?
And it goes the other way.
You think so?
Because, it's going to depend on the team that he gets drafted to. Like, some teams are going to say, you are our starting corner.
How would the Giants view him? Because he is literally sitting there potentially at three, unless he's taken at 1 and 2.
Well,
I don't know if that'll happen.
Paulson Adebo, Drew Phillips, who they drafted last year, was one of the top corners, certainly one of the top rookie corners. He was one of the top 10, I'd say, in all of football. And so you have the optionality. Trey Hawkins only played a couple of games last year because he was kind of in the doghouse, remember? But at the end of the year, he played pretty well. In fact, he broke the interception drought that the Giants had been on. And then we got to see what the evolution of Deontay Banks is. So on paper, even though not execution-wise, they have some depth at their cornerback position. So do they need that? Where do they really need a Travis Hunter? I would argue it's as another offensive playmaker. So honestly,
but where is he best equipped to be a star in the league? Because you're probably making the decision based more on him than your need.
I think wide receiver.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I've always pictured it as...
He caught for 1,400 yards last year.
No, it's true. But the thing is, it's almost impossible to do both. The idea he's going to be out there...
And then you don't want to short one.
Right.
Like going 50-50 doesn't actually make that much sense.
Yeah, because I started battling with how often do we see corners taken in the top five? It's not that often.
Mm-mm.
Jalen Ramsey... Denzel Ward.
Right.
It's not a long list.
No,
but he's unique because he's a corner, but hey, he also plays wide receiver.
Charles Woodson, he was one of those.
Yeah.
And he was the same type of player.
Yeah.
But he was more of a specialist returner.
It was also a long time ago.
And it was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
That was my era.
Let's go to Anthony on Long Island. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are we doing today?
What's up, man?
What's up?
So I just want to give Shane some flowers here, and I'll tell you why. I think it's brilliant him signing Russell. I'm not saying Russell is a world beater. I'm not saying he's going to win 13 games next year. I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is he kind of is putting pressure on Tennessee and the Browns, and I'll tell you why. Tennessee, to me, is definitely going to take Cam Ward, in my opinion. Again, who knows? Nobody knows, but... Right. I really think the Browns are going to take Shador at the end of the day because Kenny Pickett, he's just not it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure that leaves us in the best. Tiki, if I was to tell you their first three picks in this draft was Mason Graham, who to play next to Dexter Lawrence, right?
Right.
And then draft the quarterback from Alabama, and one of the running backs out of Ohio State to have a dual running back attack with Russell Wilson in the backfield. Is that not a home run?
I mean, I mean, you could ticky tack it and say I'd go offensive lineman instead of say running back or whatever it may be. You're going to get a running back even later in the draft. It's probably going to be pretty good. Both those kids from Ohio State though are pretty spectacular. Both went over 1,000 yards and they're good players. But running backs you can find. I think the bigger question, and Evan and I were talking about this in the break, is that outside of the two quarterbacks, there are three really great potential perennial Pro Bowl / Hall of Fame players in this draft. Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and Will Campbell. And so even if you miss on the quarterback, you could get a generational type player.
Yeah, if you're the Giants, you can.
And
absolutely.
And depending on what you want to do with your high second round pick, you can come back into the first round and get a quarterback.
Which quarterback, though? Because I don't think it's going to be Jackson Dart.
I don't think Jackson Dart's getting... He might not get past the Jets.
I don't think he is.
And so...
Well, my cutoff is 9. I don't think he gets out of the top 10. I think either the Jets or Saints, or dare I say the Giants,
mm-hmm.
I think one of those three teams take him, assuming Shador and Ward are gone 1-2.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think we didn't spend a lot of attention on Jackson Dart, but his season last year for Ole Miss, they went 10-3. He threw for almost 4,300 yards. He had a 67 and 69% completion percentage, whatever the heck it was, 29 touchdowns, and he had 400, 500 yards rushing and 3 or 4 touchdowns. Like, the kid is, he could be a superstar, just that nobody's paying attention to. I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten more love yet.
Oh, it's coming. Let's go to Will in Union Square. Hey, Will.
Listen, first of all, respect Tiki as a Giant fan.
Thank you, man.
Number one, I hope they don't take this kid out of Alabama, because from what I just read, he has a big arm but small hands, so you don't know where the ball is going, okay?
Yeah.
Especially in the cold weather.
It's felt like that a couple times watching him in college. He's a great runner, but
yeah.
He had like 20 rushing touchdowns last year, but the passing stuff, it leaves a little bit to be desired.
And if the whole thing about taking one of these developmental guys, anybody remember Ryan Nassif?
Yeah,
anybody remember Davis Webb?
Yeah,
I mean, the developmental guys don't usually work out.
No,
so
they don't.
You know what,
Will? They become coaches.
Right, which is what happened with Davis Webb.
Davis Webb, he's Sean Payton's, not coordinator, but he's soon to be an offensive coordinator and probably a head coach.
They're not in position to take a developmental guy that you could sit back and say, yeah, we'll wait a couple of years,
no,
we'll see.
They need a draft. When we say development, we mean come in, we expect you to be our starter relatively soon.
Yeah.
Whether it's some point this year or next year. And that used to only be the first round guys.
Now I think it's first two rounds.
I agree with you.
Like, if you take one of those generational talents at 3, but then, you know, you take Kyle McCord out of Syracuse or Jalen Milroe, who we just talked about.
Tyler Shlaw.
Yeah, so I started looking into this guy.
And?
This Tyler Shaw guy.
Shaw.
S-H-O-U-G-H.
Shaw.
Big guy.
It's definitely Shaw.
Shaw. Yeah, we need him here. We need him here just for the callers.
Shug.
So we can get all the different pronunciations.
I would say Shug.
Shug?
Shug. Because O-U-G-H is though. Show. Tyler Show.
Shug. He is a big man. 6'5".
Yeah.
Big guy. You like your quarterbacks big.
I do. Kerry Collins. Eli was big, too.
Big asses. Big arms.
Big heads.
Yeah.
You can stop there.
Okay. I'm not going any further. Gabe is calling from Wayne, New Jersey. What's shaking, Wayne? Gabe?
What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call, guys. So you guys were talking about rosters earlier. The Yankees haven't set their roster yet either. They got a couple of holes.
Yep.
And one of the reports that came out was Cashman is desperately on the phones for a right-handed bat. Now, whether that is true or Fugazi, my question is, doesn't the only team that makes sense that he should be calling right now be the St. Louis Cardinals? Vis-a-vis, like, you know, somebody like like Donovan, oh. Right? Best case scenario, Brendan, but then Donovan. Like the backup, yeah. Arenado, right? Yeah. Like Evan's prediction, but I mean, like that's the only team that makes sense because Oswaldo Cabrera is your third baseman, and otherwise you're going to be getting another guy that's got like Oswaldo's ceiling.
I'll tell you why I'm losing confidence. I shouldn't lose confidence. I got one more day. Just go with it, Evan. I'm losing confidence in my Nolan Arenado thing. Mm. This has been there for months.
Yeah.
It's just been there. And so if you're Brian Cashman and you're, what's his name, in St. Louis, I always mispronounce his name, so I'm just going to call him the GM in St. Louis at this point.
Right.
If you were going to get something done, I think it would have been days before opening day. I think what's going on right now, I'll give you an example locally that the Met fan can understand and the Yankee fan will be like, okay, that makes sense. The Mets have a guy named Alexander Canario. He's a right-hand hitting outfielder. They got him from Chicago. He has no options left. He just doesn't, which means the Mets can't send him down.
Yeah,
okay?
No flexibility.
He had a great camp. He's young. He's a right-handed bat. Most Met fans, like in the weed Met fans, are arguing, oh, my God, how do we let this guy go? He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Let's trade Marte. Let's trade Tyrone Taylor. What are we doing? There's no room for him. So in a couple of hours, he's going to go on waivers because the Mets can't keep him. I think when you hear stories about Brian Cashman is looking around for right-handed bats, it's guys in that mode. Guys who just aren't going to fit on a particular right. team, whether it was Garrett Hampson last week or Alexander Canario this week.
Makes sense.
And honestly, guys that a lot of people haven't heard of.
Right. It's not going to be some highfalutin trade.
No, because the highfalutin trade, the Arenado trade, it's been there all for months.
Right. And they know they've had this need for a while. And so why would you not have done it already?
Honestly, so when I have been reporting, my brain has been reporting. I was not doing real journalistic work here. My brain had been reporting Arenado was going to be a Yankee. I'm going to lift up the curtain here. I thought it would have happened on Monday. I thought coming into opening day week, all right, let's make a deal. We are now on the eve of opening day. To the point where, if a trade is made, he may not even be ready to be on the Yankee opening day
roster. Might not get here in time.
Right. So my confidence in that being the move is limited.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're and by the way, David Stearns is doing the same thing because he won't even commit to Luis Angel Acuña being on the roster because it's kind of like the NFL where you're looking at the guys who didn't make other teams
yep.
and you're trying to say, oh, that guy fits, let's bring him
in. Is he better than my option?
Right.
Or A option or B, is he better? And if the answer is yes, then it's easy to just make the move.
Do you think that Sean Morash has celebrated the Russell Wilson signing? Or is he mentally losing his brain like he did Jameis Winston? Let's go live to Sean Morash outside in Long Island, New York to get his reaction. Sean, Russell Wilson's a Giant. Let's ride.
Giants country. Let's ride. Let's go. Let's go. The joke is over.
So you are pumped up about this move.
Well, I'm as pumped up as anybody could be for an absolutely washed up quarterback to come in and start football games for you, if that makes any sense. But no, look, if you said last year when the quarterback room was Daniel Jones and Jameis Winston that instead their quarterback room was Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and potentially a rookie, wouldn't we all say good job, Joe Shane? So what changed a year later? I mean, they're paying $14.5 guaranteed million dollars. It's hard. I mean, what else was he supposed to do? They tried for Stafford. They tried for Rodgers. They went down the pecking order.
No, in that regard, you're right. Like, this is not a horrible move. It sounds like this could be a chaotic quarterback room, but as long as there's a rookie,
you got that right.
As long as there's a rookie and there's a future plan, it kind of can make sense. Like, so crazy that it makes sense, type of thing.
Well, Tiki, I think you nailed that part of it. And this is what I'm really excited about, right? Like, let's just go back to the beginning of the offseason. Joe Shane was retained. What was everybody's worry? That Joe Shane was going to act crazy, act kooky, and he was going to mortgage the future of the franchise. The one thing I think that this ensures, no matter what they do at number three overall, is I don't believe they're trading a future first-round pick to move up in this draft.
No,
I don't believe that's going to happen.
It doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. So you sit back and you let the Titans and Browns make their picks. And if they don't take Sanders or Ward and one of those guys falls to you at three, then great. Then you sat back. And if this regime does get itself fired at the end of the year, the new regime comes in without maxed out cap space on a veteran quarterback and a first round pick next year to pull the trigger on whatever quarterback they want next year.
So
if you want to take Jalen. Yeah, I'm excited, Tiki. I'm excited. By the way, 3.5 wins. Smash the over. You want free money. Let's go.
That's not happening.
Jeez. I think that. if they don't add a young quarterback, and it doesn't have to be three overall, okay? It needs to be, I think, in the first two rounds of this draft, because most of the time, you've talked about this a lot. Like, you could draft a guy in the fourth or fifth round, 99% of the time, that turns into nothing.
Yeah.
They have to end up with another man in this quarterback room that they're developing, almost like Russell Wilson from a decade ago, where they went out and signed a veteran quarterback, Matt Flynn then, and Russ was so impressive he took the job. There needs to be a kid in that room. If they do it, I give Joe Shane a lot of credit. I think he's playing 4D chess. If this is the quarterback room, though, and you're going into a win-now year, which is what it turns into, with Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Tommy DeVito, then I don't love what Joe Shane did.
Yeah.
Sean, it won't be the quarterback room.
We need your input on how you feel your remote mic and Zoom broadcast is going.
Yeah, because you're going to do this tomorrow at Yankee Stadium.
This is a test. This is only a test. We only wanted your opinion tertiarily.
I understand it. So you guys tell me, how does it sound? That's the most important part.
Well, as a producer here, Sean, they threw to you, you're in Long Island or Iraq? Because it was like a 20-second delay when we threw to you. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. No, are you hearing me correctly or no?
Yeah, it sound. I'm getting no delay on
that. No, there's no delay.
It's because he had it on mute.
Oh, so then he's not a professional. What kind of reporter are you?
No. I tried to walk as far away from my dogs as possible. I also went outdoors to make sure, since I'm going to be outdoors tomorrow, this worked.
Oh, I like this. So let me get this straight, Sean. You are recreating Yankee Stadium with your backyard in Northern Babylon. You think that's like an accurate
picture?
It's not
Northern Babylon.
Well, wherever you are. I don't know.
That's disrespectful. Okay. I'm in Bayshore right now, and yes, it's, I'm trying to recreate. Why wouldn't I do it?
He didn't want to give away your location. You don't want people coming knocking on your door and trying to hijack your dogs or something.
Exactly. Bottom line is this. I wanted to come outside because I figured if I'm inside of my Wi-Fi, what does that accomplish? I'm going to be outside at Yankee Stadium tomorrow. Let's figure out this technology.
Well, how far away are you from your house? Because you know you can probably pick up your Wi-Fi with a couple hundred yards.
Exactly. I'm 10 feet from my back door, so maybe I didn't do a good enough job.
You're on Wi-Fi, man. Come on.
I'm going to walk further.
The challenge at Yankee Stadium tomorrow is that everyone's on their phone and everyone's using the cell data, so sometimes that turns into a disaster.
Right.
But it's a big experiment. I want what I'm hoping for tomorrow, living vicariously through you, which a lot of people in the audience are going to have to do because most of us are not going to be at Yankee Stadium, we want to hear the ice cream go into your mouth. We want it. Yeah, just like that.
Damn it. I just stepped in dog crap. God damn it.
All right, you went too far.
Is it your own dog's crap or is it random dog crap?
No, it's my dog's crap. All my freaking new running shoes, man.
This has all worked out perfectly, actually.
Yeah, dude. Hopefully I don't step in at Yankee Stadium. Oh, all right. I'm on the socks now. All right. Does it sound fine? Yankees, dude, 85 wins. Mets, 85 wins. Did we do it yet?
Yeah, no, you're fine. Dude, you're going to walk around. You just stepped in dog crap with your shoes. And now you took your shoes off so you can step in more dog crap with your socks.
No, I stepped back on the patio. When I was doing my retreat back to the grass to see if the reception, I didn't look down and I smelt it right away. I felt that smear crunch and smell. Gross.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
And maybe Tiki's going to say I'm an idiot too. You have a dog, I have a dog, Tiki has a dog. Dog goes outside, you have two. When my dog goes outside, I pick it up.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm. I don't let it sit. So why did you even let your dog's crap sit? I don't understand.
Evan, bless your heart. My dog's crapping schedule right now seems to be 3:30 in the morning when I wake up to let him out. So if you think I'm going out there in my underoos with a bag to pick it up at that time, you're nuts. Mm. I ran out this morning, had some stuff to take care of my wife. I just came back. I plan on picking it up, but it seems like my sneaker did a good enough job. So I'm going to get a popsicle stick. I'm going to clean out the creases of this, that's what.
I do want to clarify, 3/26, March 26, 4:20 p.m., you are picking the New York Yankees and the New York Mets to both win 85 games and miss the
85
playoffs.
85 and 77, both missing on the final weekend of the year. Mm-hmm.
Which fan base is more pissed off about that result? As we're sitting here taking phone calls first week of October.
Yankees.
You think so?
I actually think it's the Mets because their expectations, I think, are higher internally.
I agree. I don't even think it's internal or just internal or external, Sean. I was looking at everyone's predictions because this is the time of year we all do it. The vibe and the picks around the Mets, it's mid-90s. For the Yankees, it's mid to high 80s. The under's higher for the Mets. It is just universally expected that the Mets are going to be better.
And wouldn't it be so Yankees and Mets and their fan bases to finish with the same exact record and spend an offseason after being flat-out losers arguing who had the better year with the same record, depending on how strong the league is? I mean, like, I could just smell that coming a mile away.
You're describing the Lugauer for a month after the season.
Yes. Exactly.
No, that smell is actually the dog crap on the bottom.
This is horrible start to my home afternoon.
Well, Sean, thank you for testing the microphone. We will talk to you tomorrow. Boots on the ground at Yankee
Stadium.
So
this is going to work. We think this is working. I don't know this technology.
I think you're on Wi-Fi the whole time, so probably not. Thanks for attempting. Appreciate you, Sean.
All right, Tiki, let's ride.
Stop. I don't want to hear that ever.
Well, I'm sorry, Tiki.
No, that was a Broncos thing.
Well, what is his shtick going to be here with the New York Giants? I mean, he's going to have a shtick.
He didn't say that for the Steelers.
What did he say with the Steelers? Do we know?
Because with the Seahawks,
he said something.
It was always just go Hawks.
Everybody has to have an alter ego.
That's not what he said with the Steelers.
What did he say with the Steelers? He had something.
Don't know. You got to find a press conference and see how he walks off.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
He always had something.
No, I know. And he's going to have something for the Giants, even if it's not the let's ride.
But so apparently, Denver was because, you know, Bronco. You get to go ride a horse. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Apparently, he tried to go with here we go.
Yes.
And it didn't stick.
Here we go.
But it didn't stick. It didn't catch on like go Hawks and let's ride.
Well, here we go because of their song.
Yeah.
Here we go Steelers or whatever.
Right. So I think he tried to make that his catchphrase. It didn't work. So I don't know if he attempted a second one.
Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson ditches let's ride catchphrase for here we go.
Yeah. Because
here we go.
Like that article didn't. Did they not understand where let's ride came from?
It came from the Broncos, right?
I know, but it was specific to the Broncos.
Right.
Because he said go Hawks when he was in Seattle,
right.
And let's ride when he was in Denver, and now he was in Pittsburgh. He had to find something different. He wasn't going to say let's ride in Pittsburgh. It doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah.
You're steel miners or whatever, right?
Blue collar.
It's blue collar.
Yeah.
It sounds
working
like
man.
It's working man.
It sounds blue like collar. His phrasing in Pittsburgh was win the seventh for the Super Bowl, win their seventh Super Bowl.
So he would leave the press conference and be like, win the seventh.
I'm looking. Let me hold on. I'm going to listen to this.
I mean,
live right
he had
now.
To do it regularly. It's the last thing he says.
Yeah, I don't know if he did it regularly. We're going to have to examine Russell Wilson press conferences. Speaking of examining,
what's it going to be for the Giants?
I don't know.
G-man for life.
Speaking of examining things, I'd like to play something for you.
Go ahead.
And this is something you can relate to. This is not anything I can relate to at all, or any of us can. Last night when the New York Knicks defeated the Dallas Mavericks, it was a historical night, not only because Karl-Anthony Towns and Josh Hart both had triple-doubles in the same game.
Dismantled them.
First time in the history of the Knicks franchise they had two guys have triple-doubles in the same game, which it sounds surprising, but when you think about the triple-double and the history of it, it's really not that surprising.
Yeah, one of my favorite games of the second half of the Knicks. You know why, Tommy? Because the bench played a lot.
Tyler Kolek was awesome.
And Kolek looked great.
He did.
Dog!
So they get the two triple-doubles, but in the process, Josh Hart passed Walt Clyde Frazier for the most triple-doubles in a season by a Knicks player.
Mm-hmm.
And as this was happening, I wanted to be very kind of like intrigued by how did Clyde handle it? Was he like, oh, I'm so happy for Josh Hart? Or was he a little passive-aggressive? So let's analyze what Clyde said numerous times throughout the late latter part of the broadcast when talking about Hart breaking his record. Here's cut number one.
Josh Hart just got his ninth triple-double of the season. That is a new franchise record for most triple-doubles in a single season, breaking the great Hall of Famer Walt Clyde Frazier's.
Yep. Congratulations, Hart. Long time coming. Over 50-something years.
And I know for you, you have such respect for the way he plays the game.
Yep. Team first, whatever they need, this is what he does.
There's something about this that I'm like, I don't think he's happy
no,
for.
No, I think he is.
He calls him Hart.
He just doesn't want to be, like, take a spotlight, sound like to me.
Well, the first thing he mentions is 57 years. Almost like, boy, you losers, it took you a long time to break this record.
I mean, that's a long time to hold a record.
Very long time. So you don't sense any passive aggressiveness there?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Here's cut number two of Walt Clyde Frazier.
Let's take a look at Hart now, the ninth triple-double this season. Surpassing yours truly after 56 years or something?
Second time he brought up how long it's been.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. Let's hear the third one. This is after the game, unprovoked, Walt Clyde Frazier on Josh Hart breaking his record.
The Knicks, for the first time in franchise history, two players in the same game with triple doubles, and their captain got to watch it all.
And Hart broke my record for over 56 years. I hate that guy.
I don't know.
He's saying that in jest.
Was he joking?
Well, here's the problem with you thinking he has hate for Josh Hart for breaking his record. How many times have we talked about, or anyone for that matter, talked about the number of triple doubles in a regular season for the New York Knicks? Exactly. Nobody, not once. So great, you broke his record. I don't think anybody knew it.
Well, I think a part of it is they didn't have a lot of triple-double guys like Jason Kidd, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, guys who...
It doesn't matter.
They used to do triple-doubles on a nightly basis. Like, no offense to Melo, he wasn't exactly a triple-double machine.
It's different when it's something that everybody obviously knows.
Right.
I don't think even a lot of Knicks fans obviously knew that the record for most triple-doubles in a season was Clyde Frazier's.
Right. It would have been a default guess only because he's an all-time great.
Yeah, of course.
And
of course,
you know, Patrick and Melo didn't have a lot of them.
Yeah.
So,
especially not per season.
But here's the thing. I think that while Clyde Frazier, like, I'm trying to read, I think he's probably mostly happy for him.
I hate that guy.
That doesn't sound happy.
But that's true.
You're dead to me.
But here's what I wonder about. You have the all-time giant rushing record.
Right.
If someone
and everybody knows it, and people talk about it, so it's like when it gets broken, you're gonna know that it was broken.
Will you be bothered when it's broken?
No.
Will it depend on who breaks it?
You know why? Because I'm gonna be 60 when it's broken.
Teek, what if you're doing the broadcast?
Mm-hmm. Like, no, I won't be doing a broadcast then.
You're done before you're 60.
Yeah, probably.
But even when you're 60, 65, let's say you're here or you're not, you're doing whatever you're doing, whatever you choose to do. Isn't it going to depend on who breaks the record? Like, if it's someone you look at and say, hey, that guy is all-time great, he's a great kid, I'm happy for him, versus someone who you're like, you're not even that good.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they're going to have to be good. Rushing for 10,000 yards now in the NFL is harder than ever because 1,100 yards is considered a success. Now, we saw a couple of great runners last year actually, it was probably three of them. Last year, Saquon Barkley leading the way, but most teams are doing it by committee, and most guys aren't on teams enough to break the record.
I have to alter it then. You're 1,000% right. I need to alter the record because you're right. To break that record, you naturally have to be good. How about the single game rushing record, which you own?
220?
234. December 30th against Washington.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's the best part about Tiki Barber. Most rushing yards in a Giant game, Tiki Barber. Second most rushing yards in a game, Tiki Barber. Fifth, sixth, and seventh, Tiki Barber. Right. Dog. So you own the list. Let's say a random...
Oh, it's because it's hard to rush for 200 yards. I did it five times, so...
Not bad.
Right.
But let's say it's a random... And I'm not putting down Josh Hart, Tommy. Don't look into this. I'll get to him in a second. But let's say it is a random whatever who breaks that record. It wouldn't bother you?
No. No. It wouldn't.
Interesting. Are you just
good
saying
luck,
that?
You're dead to me. I don't think about that record, to be honest with you.
That record doesn't mean them. Okay.
All right.
Fair enough. I think Josh Hart is a wonderful player. He really is. That's why I want to make it clear. I'm not putting him down. Josh Hart will have to buy a ticket to go to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame. While Clyde Frazier is an all-time great. In fact, I think he's a disrespected all-time great. Mm-hmm. Like, he is so freaking good and was so freaking good. I don't know enough people know that. And so I do wonder.
Well, yeah.
While Clyde respects Josh, he could be thinking to himself,
I hate that guy.
You know what it is also? I think in some regards, his post-career, playing career success has led to people not thinking about his career.
You're right. You think of him more as a broadcaster.
100%.
Meanwhile, he's... Pound for pound, ask the older Knick fan who the greatest Knick player of all time is. A lot of them are going to just say, it's Walt Clyde Frazier.
Yeah.
It's not Willis. It's not Patrick. It's not Melo. You know, Frazier made that comment the other day about, you know, Willis always thought Patrick was the greatest Knick player ever. Patrick Ewing thought it was Patrick. Well, guess what? A lot of people think it's Clyde.
Yeah.
He's so good at this one. So I wonder, and again, it's not a knock on Josh. Josh is a wonderful player. But if you are an all-time great, do you look at this guy and say,
He broke the record.
I see what you're saying.
Thank you.
But it is, he is, in some ways, the heartbeat of this team.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the leader. That's Brunson, clearly. But he is, like, the heart and the soul of this team. He can grind. You need 42 minutes from you tonight, 45, whatever. He's going to give it to you and not complain about it. So, in some regards, it's the respect for how he plays and how intensely he plays every night that I think Clyde has to respect.
Let's ride slogan with Russell Wilson as quarterback. You know, one thing we haven't mentioned yet, Teak, and welcome. How is everybody doing on this eve of opening day? The Giants made a decision to say, all right, we're good on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
They followed your advice because you had said even a week ago, I'm done, I'm moving on.
Right.
I wonder if it was just simply we're tired, we're moving on, or if they got a word from Aaron that he's not really going to sign with the New York Giants because that was their preferred option over Russell Wilson.
Right, before, you know, after Matt Stafford, obviously, who used everybody to re-sign with the Rams. But I think you're right. I think last week the Giants probably started feeling like this is not real for us. And we just went through this Matt Stafford thing. Aaron Rodgers could likely do the same thing or just retire because he is 41 years old and might not want to do this anymore, especially if he doesn't see us as a place where he can come win a championship type of thing. So they had to move on, and they did. He hadn't visited them. I know they'd had conversations, but nothing had been official like you'd seen with his trip to Pittsburgh. So it was just time to move on.
And they moved on, and now, for anyone still interested in Aaron Rodgers, not to the Giants, obviously, but just in general, what's his market? I mean, it's really the Pittsburgh Steelers waiting on the Vikings to change their mind, or something I suggested last week, which I think Aaron has every right to do, which is just to sit back and wait and say, hey, I can retire. I don't have to quarterback, and I'm going to wait for a potential opportunity to open up that maybe no one sees coming. Whether it's an injury during the spring, whether it's just a change of opinion by an organization, like, there is no rush for Aaron Rodgers to sign with the team. But the longer he doesn't sign, the tougher spot the Steelers are in, because right now in this musical chair at the quarterback position, they got nobody.
Yeah, there's a chance that the Steelers could be stuck, right? And this is why, you know, some people were saying Jackson Dart's not going to fall below 21. But I think it's right. He's not going to fall below 10, 9 or so. But one of these other quarterbacks probably has a chance to get into the first round now. Because the Steelers need a quarterback, no matter what they end up doing.
But it still feels like they would want a veteran quarterback. Maybe they end up acquiring Kirk Cousins once the Atlanta Falcons realize they're not going to pay $40 million to a backup. Let's go to Evan in Astoria. How are you, Evan?
Doing well, fellas. Giants country, okay, fine. I think that's what we're going with. I talked to you guys last week. I said I was going with Flacco and everything. You taught me to Jameis Winston after almost no repercussions.
Right.
But I think, I'm not saying that Ward or Sanders are terrible quarterbacks. I'm really not. I just think that this shows, first of all, they wouldn't give them the veto the money, even though it's only a little bit. They're not going to have four QBs on the roster. I don't think they'd cut the veto. So three QB quarterbacks, they're not drafting a quarterback this year. And as a beleaguered Giants fan, we have gone through a decade and a half of just pitiful displays. Mm. I will happily wait one more year. I'm not going to love it. I'm going to complain the whole time.
Right.
But I would rather not reach for something that is going to be a subpar product if we're really trying to set up for long-term success.
Evan, I love you guys. You make a good point about reaching at, say, three or two or whatever, one, trading up and going to do one of those crazy things. And then it doesn't work. And then your regime gets fired.
That's right? The problem.
Because that's what happened in Chicago last year.
Yep.
It's what happened 3 years ago in Jacksonville. Someone called before and was talking about how the Giants have the worst owner organization. What about Jacksonville? It's been bad down there with Shad Khan. So you put your newly drafted top of the first round drafted quarterback in a terrible spot if you draft him and then fire the staff the next year.
But if you don't draft a young quarterback, what the heck would you need to see from this veteran quarterback room and the overall win total to make you want to run it back for another year with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll?
I agree with you, Evan. That's the problem with not taking a quarterback.
That's the problem with not taking the quarterback. And I hate to go back to this because it's the middle of March and nothing can change. It's a part of the problem with why bringing this group back was so difficult. Mm. Because you create this situation. Look at the Jets situation. The Jets situation is they could just take a quarterback if they like a quarterback. If they don't like a quarterback, they'll throw it out with Justin Fields. And whether they win 3 games or 8 games, they're not firing Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi because they already started over.
Yeah, but what would have happened? Let's just play a hypothetical.
Yes. I love hypotheticals.
If the Jets had not, after week 5,
mm-hmm.
fired Robert Saleh.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers starts to really get it. Everybody's bought in.
Mm-hmm.
And they win 11 games.
11?
Yeah, I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Oh, jeez.
11 games.
It's a tough one to believe.
They break the playoff drought. Lose first round, whatever.
Okay.
Clearly overmatched by whoever.
All right.
But whatever.
What do you want to know?
They make the postseason.
Yeah.
Are you firing the staff?
No. Everybody's back.
And so...
Everybody's back.
But how do you feel now going into this year?
I would actually feel pretty good. If they won 11 games...
Yeah, and then Aaron Rodgers is, I don't know... The problem is it's not an ideal because there's no developmental quarterback on the Jets roster.
There's two different things here. If they won 11 games, and let's say they flamed out in the playoffs,
yeah.
I think the big topic around here would be, can Robert Saleh ever win a championship? We'd be giving him credit,
right.
But there'd be a discussion of, all right, great, we won 11 games. Right. All right, great, I'm in the playoffs.
So I asked that hypothetical because that kind of feels like where the Giants are if they don't draft a quarterback. That is, they could have success with one of these veterans, Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston,
right.
or both. Say something happens and they could have some success. And get to the playoffs and lose in the first round. And it's like, all right, now we can't really fire the staff.
No, you're keeping the staff.
You can't really draft now your quarterback of the future, even though you only had Russ for a year and Jameis essentially for a year as well. Like,
right.
So it's successful, but you're not optimistic about the future because you haven't done anything.
So you haven't advanced.
You haven't taken a step forward.
And there's a difference, though. If they made the playoffs, let's say the Giants don't draft a young quarterback, they draft Abdul Carter, they put together a good roster, and they surprise us. Evan, they win 10 games.
The Pittsburgh Steelers made the playoffs last year.
Okay, but they're not. The Giants and the Steelers are very different.
I know that, but they made the playoffs last year with this exact quarterback.
Okay, so what's your point?
And they moved off of him. And so now, look at where the Steelers are.
Oh, no, but wait. If the Giants win 10 games with Russell Wilson at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
I think that there would be optimism about the coach again. There'd be optimism about the roster building again. The quarterback discussion would be separate because I think that there would be some Giant fans saying, hey, we won 10 games, bring it back. I think there'd be other Giant fans saying, go get this different veteran, and other Giant fans saying, we need to develop a young quarterback. Either way, the coach is back. If they make the playoffs.
I understand that, but you get stuck. I'm talking about the optimism. You get stuck in what the Steelers are stuck in. Now, the Steelers are different because the Steelers we're making the postseason every year. We don't have that quarterback to win a championship.
Well, they're also in the playoffs every year to your
I know.
Point.
So the Giants, in this exact same scenario, Russell Wilson wins 10 games. They get to the postseason. He's on a one-year deal. And we don't really want him back type of thing. What are you doing? You're not in position to draft a quarterback. You're stuck.
You're right, but where I disagree is because the Steelers have made the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, they haven't had a losing season, their bar is way high. If the Giants did that, 10-7, same record as Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Same issue where Russ starts to wear down at the end of the year. I think more Giant fans would be optimistic about the coach, the GM, and the roster building to say, all right, we still don't have a quarterback, but at least we feel better about the roster and the head coach. Even you would, Tommy, right?
Right. Then you're doing everything you can to move into the top 5 or 6 or whatever.
Or you're looking at a different veteran quarterback.
Sam Darnold, someone like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who that even would be next.
That's not the bad situation. The bad situation is 7-10. The bad situation is you win more games, but it's not enough for you to believe in the roster building, not enough for you to believe in the coach, off the quarterback.
Then I think they get fired.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's the worst situation. Let's go to Ray in Jersey. Yeah. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, man. What's happening?
Good. What's up?
First things first, Tiki, big-time Giant fan.
Appreciate you.
You should be in the hall. No question.
One of these years.
End of story. But now with that being said, let's talk about the quarterback. I don't think the Giants should bother drafting one this time around.
Why? Why? You don't like them or why?
No.
Tell me your plan then.
I think what the two we just got is to it's not playing checkers, it's playing chess. And we all know this is all hypothetical. But the two they got right now, Wilson and Winston, it's enough to hold down the fort.
Until what, though?
I would like to have Carter, Hunter, or Campbell. One of those three where it comes down to their pick.
At number three.
Because next year, the word on the football world, college football world, is that there's an abundance of other quarterbacks.
But that's a year from now.
Yeah.
And you also aren't sure where you're picking. Like, if the Giants make enough progress to keep the coaching staff and the GM, they'll probably pick in, like, 19.
Right.
So thinking about next year's draft doesn't work when you have a GM and a head coach that are on the hot seat.
Right.
Tiki, famously, about a week ago, you threatened to ban callers if they brought up tanking. I'm banning callers if we have to hear about Arch Manning, who hasn't thrown a pass at Texas.
He didn't say Arch Manning, though.
But he implied Arch Manning, and I've heard Arch Manning already.
He actually had a couple of really great games last year.
He did. No, and he's probably got the goods. But I can't do the...
But he didn't do Arch Manning. He said a plethora of quarterbacks.
And he's right.
Which
It's a deeper quarterback draft next year.
But headed by Arch Manning would be the most prized position.
But I got to defend our last caller, even though it took him a while to get to his point.
Okay.
He did compliment Tiki, and I'm not ripping that part. It was just, it took him a while. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm not here to rate callers. Mm. He didn't say Arch Manning.
No,
now, I agree with you. I'm actually with you that the tanking for Arch or bringing up a guy that no one's seen play, totally with you on that being such a stupid thing. But he didn't do it.
Right.
So I got to defend the man. Sorry.
Here is next year's free agent class for quarterbacks.
Free agent class? Mm.
Ooh. 2026.
Yeah.
The season hasn't even started yet.
You're right. I'm just saying, for people who are saying, don't take a quarterback, whatever happens with Russ and Jameis Winston, you can just do the same thing next year if you have success.
Who are the veterans? I'm curious.
Geno Smith.
Okay. Wait, didn't he sign an extension?
It's only 1 year. 1 year deal.
Are you sure? He only signed a 1 year? I thought he signed a multi-year deal.
No. No, I'm looking at it right now. Geno Smith is a free agent in 2026. He got traded from Seattle to the Raiders.
No, you're right.
On his old deal, which was a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Right? And so
he's expected to sign a new contract with the Raiders, but he is not yet.
So you are correct. He has not yet. Yep. So currently it is Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson, who was only on a 1-year deal in New York Giants.
Let's ride.
Marcus Mariota.
Oh,
Tyrod Taylor. Zach Wilson, who's still only 26 and a half years old. Davis Mills. Kenny Pickett. Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle, should I keep going?
So it's the same guys as this past year.
It's probably worse.
Right.
So my point is, for all of that, is the Giants have to take a quarterback.
They're going
They
to.
Have to.
Like, listen, spoiler alert. They're going to take a quarterback in the first two rounds of this draft. They are. And to me, that is an absolute mortal lock. It is not possible, unless Joe Shane is just so bad at this job, that's unimaginable, that taking a quarterback in the first two rounds. I still remain very confident that quarterback will be Shador Sanders. I have thought that for a while. He will be there at three. The Giants will take him. And that is going to be the most ridiculously awesome quarterback room we've ever seen. The personalities of Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Shador Sanders. And poor Tommy DeVito will end up on the Jets practice squad.
Tommy!
So, the idea that they won't or they shouldn't.
He probably will too, by the way.
Tommy with the Jets?
He got cut.
Will that kill you, Loogie?
I can't. Well, let me think here. Would I want to see Tommy DeVito have success? You know what? I want Tommy DeVito to make it no matter what. So if it has to be with the Jets, let it be the Jets. Mm-hmm. Better be with the Giants, but let it be with the Jets. And in return, Zach Wilson comes here and he has success with the Giants. So that will equally kill Evan. By the way, with the drafting of the quarterback, I do think there's a big drop-off from taking either Shador or Cam or Milroe or Dart. When you start getting down to the Riley Leonards of the world, the Will Howards of the world, the idea or the chances of those guys being successful, I think, are slimmer. So that's really just drafting a young quarterback to have the young quarterback.
That's why I say top two rounds, because those guys you mentioned, the bigger prospects, they're going in the top two rounds.
Yeah, exactly. So if they just draft a quarterback later, third, fourth, fifth, that's just to have a young quarterback. So then they're going to end up drafting a quarterback down the line.
I'm going to offend you, Tiki, by saying something that I have said numerous times. I think even Tommy has said this numerous times, so it's something we agree on. In a lot of ways, every day proves that in 2025, the New York Jets are the New York Giants, and vice versa. Like, not that the Jets are good, they're not, but we barely talk about the Jets.
Yeah, this is exactly what we went through with the Jets last
year. Yes, the Jets
last
are the
2 years, really.
They're the under-the-radar team. Not telling you they're winning 10 games or anything like that, but just it's very quiet. You want to say it's boring? Fine, it's boring. Very quiet. The Giants, everything they do is, can you believe Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, yeah, draft this guy? They are, they're box office, but box office for all the bad reasons.
Not you got to be unlimited.
Not all the good reasons. Couple of minutes in front of 5 o'clock, Tommy will give us a Cinco de Fivo. We have plenty of time for more of your phone calls, a lot of strong opinions on what the Giants are doing, and we'll make some very specific baseball predictions on the Mets, the Yankees, and even have some fun on who's going to hit the first home run of the New York baseball season.